four now, and I thought, it's a Bible. She's got 5 years on. When Paul said to his protege, Timothy, let no one look down on you because of your youth. Timothy was 19. When Paul called the prophet Jeremiah and said to him, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I have appointed you and called you to be a prophet to the nation. Jeremiah was also 19. God does some incredible things through our young people who have fresh vision, fresh energy, and fresh faith that the rest of us need to hear and to draw from. So this isn't just looking at one of our own who's coming up and finding her way, but this is an opportunity for us to hear God speak through to us through yet another boy. She's back there getting her laptop fixed up. I'm a manuscript guy. I usually have my paper. So old school, new school. But let's give a warm Trinity welcome to Grace and Captain Bob.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am really grateful that we are all here, so thank you for that. We're going to start out with reading another scripture for a responsive reading. This is on page 854, and it's Psalm 139, so if you could please turn to that page. We're going to do the responsive reading. And we're not going to do all of that. We're going to leave out that very last section. We're going to go down to line 18. That's page 854. O Lord, you have searched me and known me.
You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways.
Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it all together.
You pursue me behind and before and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is I cannot attain it.
Whither shall I go from your spirit?
Whither shall I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me.
If I say, let only darkness cover me, and the light about me be night.
Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you.
For it was you who formed my innermost parts.
You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I praise you, for you are fearful and wonderful.
Wonderful are your works.
You know me very well.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately wrought in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes beheld my unformed substance.
And you wrote word in the days that were formed for me, every day before they came to be.
How profound to me are your thoughts, O God! How fast is the sum of them!
When I would count them, they are more than sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
This is the word of God.
Thank God.
Hi, everyone. Like Pastor Craig said, my name is Grayson. For those who don't know me, I am the daughter of Kirsten and Hadley Katzenbach, my father, who unfortunately hurt his back this morning, so pray for him, and the sister of Hadley, who is the taller version of me. So my parents moved to Petersburg around 2.5 years ago. At the time, I was living in Montana, and COVID-19 had just hit. They were stuck at home, isolated, as we all were, and like many of us, they struggled finding a community. And I stand here blessed today to say that I believe they did and that this church has been a part of it. I came to Peter. Petersburg during a very transitional period of my life, a chapter that I am now closing and moving on from. And this church has helped ground me, and my heart is filled with gratefulness and gratitude to be in this room with you all today. When Pastor Craig first asked if I'd like to preach, I was a bit surprised. What can I share with this community? I'm usually the youngest one here by about 5 years, maybe seven. And like Pastor Craig said last sermon, the longer you have to sit with transferred scripture, the more it changes, the more it morphs, it manifests its way into your life. So what can a young 20-something share with the community of people who have already been there, done that? So I initially declined to preach. Pastor Craig said that was all right, and to let him know if God places anything on my heart. I didn't think too much about it until one day God lit something in my heart, and I hope that this message today will resonate with you in whatever way God reaches for your heart. It starts off when my concept of sin. Oftentimes we think of sin as doing harms against others. Think about it. The Ten Commandments: you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall honor your mother and father, you shall love your neighbor like you love yourself. Those are all external things, and I thought, if I do those things, I'm a good Christian. Life was a test, and I was determined to pass it. If I study the textbook of the Bible, check off my list of the Ten Commandments, and do what I'm told, I get an A+, right? 98% on the final test of life, 101. I had built my whole value off of these external achievements, but on the inside, I was so intensely judgmental of myself. I loved my neighbors with compassion and kindness, but internally, I was the only person that I did not award that to. Inside, I was relentlessly attacking myself. I so badly wanted to pass this test of life that every step forward was a possibility to slip up. Well, summer of 2019, I had a pretty big slip. It was a perfect day, really. The softest of blue skies, sprinkled with puffy cotton ball clouds. I was at a very dear friend's house catching up with companions I hadn't seen in years as we all hung out around their pool. I decided to cool off from the hot sun by jumping into the pool. I sauntered up to the diving board and pushed off, ready to do my signature cannonball. But as I did my little jog up to the end of the board and pushed off, my left leg slipped at the last moment. It was enough to push and force the diving board down and my body over while my left leg remained above the diving board. As I fell, the diving board flung back with force and hit my leg. I heard a snap. As I continued to fall, the diving board caught my ankle. I heard a crack followed by tearing. Milliseconds later, I found myself suspended in water, clutching my mangled leg. We find out later that night in the ER that I had broken my leg in 4 places, my ankle in 3, dislocated my ankle, and torn most of my toe ligaments. The person who was so active chasing that test and the answers was left bedridden. We were blessed to have a fantastic surgeon who did a very complicated 2-hour surgery on my leg that involved 8 screws and a plate. But within a couple of days, the person who at this point had placed all her self-worth and value into what she could do for others and how she could pass was stuck. I was helpless. I couldn't do anything for myself, and the pain medications didn't help either. High doses of Percocets left my mind wandering blindly in a layer of brain fog. I was lost. My mind, the one thing that had helped me through life with those tests and achievements of passing that held all of my value, could no longer function like it had. Now, if it were my neighbor or my friend or a loved one or family, I would have cared for them unconditionally. That's a horrible thing for someone to go to. That's traumatic. But this was myself. And my inner critic did not cease. In fact, it grew stronger. By the time I graduated college, my soul was tired as it had endured many years of me breaking it down, and I was burnt out. Freshly turned 22, I moved to Montana to teach fencing. What a story, right? I didn't even know there was fencing in Montana, let alone, or people in Montana, like let alone people, but there is, and they were incredible. But it was there that I discovered how much I was truly struggling. I had always not believed myself mentally, but now I could not even trust myself physically. And I'll be honest, today I was hesitant to share with this in church, but I was reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, which state, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties." And with that, I share with you, when I moved to Montana, some things started coming out. I was very weak. I collapsed into a deep depression. I ended up also being diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, abnormal grieving disorder, and anxiety. My own inner critic was winning. And God warns us of this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, we are told, "Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves." We have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He tells us, we all have it inside of us. We all want to attack and hurt, but we have this, and God raises the dead. And boy, at that moment, I was trusting myself. I was condemning myself to death because I was listening to the sentence of death and the judgment that was inside myself. But again, twice in Proverbs, we are told that he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. And to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. I had conveniently lost that last part, forgotten that last part of scripture. I was trusting in the Lord until he was like, just don't trust, you know, don't lean on your own understanding. I was like, oh God, just, you know. But we must reject this inner critic and trust our Lord. So I decided to do that one day. I decided to release all this judgment that I had held on myself and to turn to God and trust him and review what my religion told me about what will happen if I trust in the Lord. And I found Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." A future. It reminds me of a child's future. He's so full of dreams and potential. You know when you look at like a little six-year-old and you're like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And their eyes like bright up and they tell you about all these fantastic things you're going to do. At some point, I had stopped believing that I was fearfully and wonderfully made child of God who was worthy of all potential of dreams that I had as a little child. And I feel called to remind you that you all have those dreams, that you will forever be worthy of those dreams, because that is the amazing religion that we follow. To look at a younger version of myself and critique her the same way I was critiquing myself seemed horrible. And I started to shift. And it reminded me of our passage today when it says, "You have known me." God has known us through our whole life. And he understands my thoughts from afar. He didn't care that I messed up. He said, I am aware of all your ways. And we think to ourselves, at least I have, no, surely not. Surely not, you don't understand all the things that I'm not doing, all the tests that I'm not passing in life. You don't understand, God, you don't know me. And he tells us to pause and he says, I knit you in your mother's womb. I made you, I know everything that you are. And with everything that I know, there is nothing you can do to where you are not deserving of unconditional love in your dreams and passions as children of Christ designed in my image. And that's beautiful, that God loves us so unconditionally and he has placed a light inside of all of us. And I spent so many years trying to blow out my life or thinking that it wasn't bright enough to share. And I think many of us have felt this way at some point, or maybe it was someone else trying to blow out your light. Maybe other people have tried to make you feel bad about yourself or tear you down. It isn't, you know, and when that happens, we have to ground ourselves in our faith. And remember that when we fail, because it's not that this might happen, and it's not that we might try to blow out our light or that others might try to blow out our light. They will blow out our light. God tells us in Psalms, or at least try to, God tells us in Psalms 118, verse 8, that it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. And I love that verse because it's so blunt than to trust in humans, all of them. Silly humans, right? Look at us. We're here in flesh. We're so weak. I cut my finger from a tuna can that I tried to open the other day. That's weak. And I'm just so thankful that no one was around to see how long I struggled in trying to open a new jar of olives. I'm weak, you're weak, the people who try to hurt us are weak, but he's strong. And he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So when we get tired, we can rest in his arms. It's not that we will rest if we get tired. It's when. It's part of life. Because I realized it is not a test. And God didn't make it a test because he knew we'd all fail. Again, it's not if we have trouble, but in this world you will have trouble. But God says don't even sweat if you mess up or if someone dims your light a bit or if you try to dim your own. You're weak and can't open a new jar of olives, but God says, don't worry about those things because me, I am so strong that I have overcome the whole entire world. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 tells us. Wow. What an incredible creator we have. Amen. In my weakness, I found my strength. I was broken physically, mentally, and spiritually, and God gave me a place to rest. I'm still weak, but now I am rested. I trust not myself that I am weak, but instead trust our God who tells me that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that I am marvelous by design, and there is nothing myself or anyone can do to ruin our Almighty God's design. Ironically, when I stopped trusting myself and my inner critic, that voice telling me that I was failing, I believed in myself the most. My light has never shined brighter. And I love that verse that we read with Matthew chapter 5 of you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. We are all lights. Imagine how dark this room would be if we turned off all those lights. But they're on, and they're shining, and I am so grateful to be in a room of people who want to shine their light, and that we follow a religion that encourages us and supports us to do that. I believe that we all have a light, and that my life, no matter where I am in my life, is worth showing to the world. It's what inspired me to share this message today. Here are some things that I believed at myself. You know, when we were talking, that voice in their head that I wasn't good enough, that I was failing at my test of life, I would hide my light and I would not be here standing in front of you all today. Now recently, I'm about to embark on an unknown journey. The Grayson before her diving board accident would have been too afraid of getting a bad grade on the test of life by introducing so many possibilities of failure. My plan is not airtight and that frightens me. But now, I embrace that weakness. Again, I don't trust myself to not fail. I trust that my Lord supports me when I fail and lets me try again. While my journey is unknown, it sits well with my soul to know that my journey and yours is built on the rock-solid foundation of God. And you do not know. If you do not know, I will be working remotely from my laptop and traveling all over the world as a pet sitter. I will be miscongregating with you all. The next time I am in church, I will have explored 7 states and 7 countries, most of which I had never been to. The uncertainties are frightening, and I ask for your prayers as I continue my path forward with my light held high for all to see. I would love to end with the scripture that I have used as a meditation during this chapter of my life that has really sat with me, and I'd like to share that I'm going through, and I'd like to end on that. Philippians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen.
Gracie, you may remember I pointed out about how Dan's faith is road tested. And I was thinking, he's got almost 40 years on it, but the only difference between... Sorry.